See, Jody's been praying. Jesus, as the master teacher, used not only the great truth from the Bible, which he referred to a lot, but he also used the life around those people. He talked about shepherds and fishermen, farmers, families, neighbors in the middle of the night, and all the kinds of things that people know about, think about, talk about. He talked about what was going on in the temple when people went there to pray. And as he told these stories or made these observations, he was doing what a master teacher would do, take something we know and link it up with something we don't know and show the similarities so we start getting an inkling of what's going on. He used sheep and shepherds a lot, partly because this group of people in that part of the world, they had saw it every day. Even if you weren't a shepherd, you knew all about shepherds and sheep because you saw it going on around you. We know a lot about sheep, but we don't know a lot about shepherds. We live in a different kind of culture, and they're handled differently. If you've ever been in a place where the shepherds took care of the sheep, you know it's an interesting thing. It looks like someone with a bunch of pets because they follow him. They stop when he tells them to, and they gather around him. Even in the middle of a big city, you'll see a shepherd coming along with his little flock, eating the little grass that's growing in the nooks and crannies, and them huddling around him. If there's trouble, a wreck, or something, they come over to him and hide around him. Jesus picks up on that and shows them. In every story, we're the sheep. If we're not the sheep, it's even worse. We're the goats. But when he describes it, it's always so that we will see a relationship between us and God. In the 10th chapter of the book of John and the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew are two of the times that he brings this up, and he's explaining all the various things around that sheep industry and pointing back so that we could see some relationship. In chapter 10, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, but by another door, climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. And to him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. As the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus, of course, as he's describing this, he's telling us not only the things that anybody in that part of the world, any of us that have read about it, we know what he's describing. Sheepfold was a place of safety, sort of like a corral, only it was usually made of rocks. There was usually a narrow entryway into it. And the sheep would go in there when they were not out in the field. They would take them in there. Maybe several flocks would be crowded into that area, and so they would be safe because the shepherd was sleeping there at the gate or at the door or at the opening. And to get in there, a predator or a thief would have to, well, he would have to step over the shepherd, and the shepherd is armed with a club, and he's not going to let that happen. That's his job, to protect those sheep and take care of them. The sheep know that. That's why he said if they come in any other way, which would be having to scale the wall. So he's saying not everything in a sheep's life is safety, but they know that safety is found with the shepherd. How do they know that? Because the shepherd is taken up for them. The shepherd is providing them food. If they follow the shepherd, they have plenty to eat. There's water there. There's a green valley and still waters waiting for them, as the shepherd that God is provides in 23rd Psalm. There's a preacher named Fred Craddock who writes lots of books. And one of the stories, he's taken a group of people from his congregation to the Holy Lands. And he said, I was so excited. We were riding on the bus, and there is a sheepfold. But better than that, it's full of sheep. And there's a guy there. And he says, and he's working with the sheep. And I tell the bus driver to stop. And I get everybody out, and I start giving them this very lesson, one they will never forget, except the sheep were running here and there, and the man was grabbing them and kicking them and pushing them away and all of that. And he said, I told everybody to get back on the bus. And he said, I marched over there, and I said, what do you think you're doing? I've been trying to do this lesson with these people, and you just acted in such an unbecoming way. And so the man stood there and looked at me for a while, and he said, oh, I see your problem. You think I'm a shepherd. I'm not a shepherd. I'm a butcher. I've bought these sheep, and somehow they've kind of got the idea of what's waiting for them. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about. The sheep are afraid of these others, but they follow the voice of their master. He also talks about that door, providing safety at night and grazing in the daytime. Everything good happens to the sheep because of the door of the sheepfold. And so he's saying, when you think about a shepherd, think about me. When you think about safety or access to freedom or access to life, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what he is saying. He also talks about some others who are not shepherds, and they're not thieves, and they're not sheepfolds or doors, but they're there. He calls them hirelings. The job of being a shepherd means you put the sheep ahead of yourself. You look out for them. You get between danger and them. When David was a young man and he was a shepherd, if a lion or a bear came around, the sheep, you could see them gather around behind him, and he stood there, a boy with a stick, standing there facing this large predator. We're not talking about mountain lions. That would be scary enough. We're talking about Asian lions, the kind with the big manes and the large, ferocious animals. And there he was. And he said, and if the animals came to him, he ran him off. If he got one of the sheep, he went after him. And if he had to do combat with them, he killed the lion or the bear, remember? Now, a guy that's being paid by the hour is not going to do that. He has nothing invested in it. He doesn't have his word invested in it. He doesn't have his livelihood invested. He doesn't own the sheep. He has no relationship with the sheep. He's there for whatever can be paid. He said, there's a difference between hirelings and shepherds. Sometimes they look the same. Sometimes they even say the same thing. But Jesus is not a hireling. There were people who were leaders of the Jews, who were teachers of the law, who had nothing invested in those people. All they were looking at is, I'm worth a lot more than a sheep. And so they didn't invest in that. In our story, in the application of the story, there's also hirelings in this world. They look like shepherds, they talk like shepherds, but they don't lay down their life for their sheep. Shepherds do. And of course, the good shepherd did. If we go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, he describes another picture that's kind of a surprising picture here, because he describes one more element that we might find in the sheepfold or in the sheep field. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction." This is verse 13. "And those who follow, those who enter by that way are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life." Sounds like the gate to the sheepfold, doesn't it? "And few be are there that find it." Verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorns, or figs from thistles? So every sound tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears evil fruit. A sound tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now he goes on and expands on that picture, but I want us to look at this other picture, and that's the picture of the false prophet. Not the hireling, not the guy who's telling the right thing. He just has nothing invested in it. This is a fella who's not a shepherd. He doesn't even pretend to be a shepherd. He actually pretends to be a sheep. Now, you know, in all of the stories Jesus told, the sheep were the saved. They were the part of the flock. And then there were other animals involved. There were wolves and bears and thieves and all kinds of other things. But the sheep were what you were looking for. They were the ones that he's picturing there. You know, I never did like being called a sheep, because they're not a very smart animal. And they don't really have much going for them, except what they can produce, because they're never... Kimberly raised a sheep one time for a 4-H project, and it didn't matter how many times you went to feed it, it acted like you were the first time they'd ever seen you. It woke up in a new world every morning. It's like complete, block everything out, start all over, reset altogether. I had a rancher one time tell me that sheep are born looking for a place to die, but I don't know about that. I don't know anything about them, but I know it doesn't sound very good. I'd rather be a dog, wouldn't you? Or something with a little bit of personal will. But he's trying to get us to understand the great dependency that we have on the shepherd. And that's what he's telling. But here he's talking about the false prophets. Now, these false prophets are well disguised. If you saw them, you would think they were sheep, because they're wearing sheep's clothing, or they're disguised as sheep. They sound like prophets. They look like prophets. They seem to be the real thing, except wolves eat sheep. What wolves produce is death, chaos, and disarray. You won't have any trouble knowing if a wolf has been in your flock. If they're well disguised, you might not know who's the wolf, but you know something bad is going on here. They look like sheep. So how can you tell what they are? Sheep with wolves' clothing. Jesus says in chapter 10 of Matthew, "We're sheep and we live among wolves." But it's better if the wolves look like wolves, isn't it? It's better if they come telling you that's who they are and what they're up to. But what if they're sitting next to you? What if they're teaching an adult Bible class? What if they're standing in the pulpit and they say all the right words and it looks like they're the real thing, but they're not? How do you know? He tells us the nature of lies we need to beware. The nature of lies is, if they weren't any good at it, you would know right off, wouldn't you? If I told you that if I really wanted to, I could just fly around this room, you would say, mm-hmm. You know, it would be easy to see. But what if it sounds like the truth? What if you really want it to be true? The nature of lies is they convince you of things. Sometimes these liars are so good that they convince themselves that they're telling the truth. Jesus said some of the people that's going to turn in some of these Christians to be persecuted think they're doing it for God. They have convinced themselves. Sometimes the wolves that are dressed up like sheep have been wearing the costume so long, they think they're a sheep. They can convince you, and sometimes they convince themselves. They become very dangerous when that happens. So how do you tell? How do you know if this guy is telling the truth? How do you know if this guy is not really a wolf? How do you know if he's really speaking the word of God or from God? Of course, you know, we're going to read the Bible, but he gives us one more clue. If the sheep are disappearing, if the fruit that this, whatever it is producing, is destructive, then you know it's not coming from God. Now, when God tells us, God is so consistent. He's consistent, Old Testament, New Testament. Sometimes he changes his rules, but it's changing in this evolution of how he wants us to understand the whole thing. And so he starts us with one commandment, and then he gives us 10 commandments, and then he shows us that behind the commandments is the love, and you need to love. All of that, you know all of that. But there's certain principles that you can see are consistent with God. If you're speaking the word of God, you're going to agree with the rest of what God says. It's going to be an agreement. If you're speaking the word of God and you are not a wolf, but really a sheep, what you're going to produce is going to be, what did the fruit of the Spirit produce? Peace, harmony, love, faithfulness. All of those things are what's produced by it. I remember one time a congregation was having all kinds of problems, and the preacher was being real strict. He was being real. You'd think if you heard him preach, man, that guy is close to the Lord. Man, that guy knows the Lord. He probably ran around with Moses. He is so tight and so strong and everything. But what was happening is the congregation was coming apart. And marriages were coming apart. And children were leaving the church and leaving the family. All of this stuff was happening. By their fruits, you will know them, he says. How do you know if it's an apple tree? Well, you might could tell by the bark. Some people do. You might could tell by the way the leaves are shaped. You might could tell some other ways. But the best way and the most sure way is there's apples growing on it, aren't there? By the fruit, you will know them. It's a foolproof test. Now, the Word of God is a foolproof test too, but you got two witnesses there. And he says, when you have this situation and you don't know, you say, while I'm listening to this person, am I getting closer to God? Am I becoming a better person? Is my life more Christ-like? Am I becoming more holy? Am I winning in any areas with my war with sin? Do I pray more? Am I getting, or is there chaos in my life? Is this person taking me away from? Is he making us ask questions where God puts periods? Are we becoming less sensitive to it? He says, check the results. If one of the sheep are eating the other sheep, you might need to examine that sheep. It might not be a sheep at all. Check the results. What is their fruit? He would then say that grapes don't grow on thorns and figs don't grow on thistles. That's not the way it works. Good water in another place doesn't come from a bad spring, and bad water doesn't come from a good spring. Check the results. And then to help us one more time, he tells us one more thing to remember. He says, it's not even always what's said. He said, lots of people say, Lord, Lord, but they don't obey him. even says on the day of judgment, some people will say, Lord, Lord. Isn't that a good thing? Say, Lord, Lord, that's a good thing. And then tell some of the good things that I've done. But he said, then you go back and you say, but are you obeying the commandments that he's given us? Now, some of the commandments, one thing about the commandments is they are simple. You can check them. Right now, we could all say, am I a sheep or a wolf? Am I in compliance with God or not? And you can know. You know those commandments that we are struggling with. Am I doing any good on this? Am I moving towards him? Now, he uses this deal with the sheep because it is so elementary. You know you're not going to last long in the sheep business if something's eating all your sheep. You know that you're not going to last long in the sheep business if the sheep won't follow the shepherd. You know if the shepherd doesn't take care of the sheep, you're not going to stay in there very long. You know if you don't have a good sheepfold to protect them, it's not going to happen. It's a pretty simple thing. Now, it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of commitment. It takes an investment. It takes a lot of sacrifice. That's why the story that the prophet told David about taking that one little lamb. You remember a few weeks ago when we had the brother Katie from Wichita Falls? Isn't that his name, Katie? I remembered his name, but I forgot yours, Jody. I'm sorry. But remember he told about that there was some widows that if they just had a goat, it starts them on a climbing up out of this hole of poverty that they're in. Isn't that something? Well, that's what that one guy that had the one little lamb, you know. These are stories that you know when you see them, you know this is true. This is the truth here. And now he's taking it and he's stepping over into something that's a little harder to tell. It's a little harder to tell. You turn on your TV tonight, go over there to the religious channel, and some of those sermons sound pretty good. If you don't pay a lot of attention, some of them sound real biblical. But you need to ask, what is the fruit of this? Every now and then, some of those guys prove the mask falls off and you find out this guy's not helping the kingdom. Sometimes, it may be you. And you don't want to be that person. You want to be a sheep, don't you? You want to know the master? You want the master to know you? I want Jesus to know my name. I want him to call me. I want him to say, well done. Don't you? That's what I want. So what do I do? Whether I'm checking on to see if someone's a false teacher or not, or whether I'm seeing if I'm on the right track, the rule applies. What's coming out of my life? What is the fruit that I'm producing? All of those lists, almost every book in the New Testament has some kind of a list of good things and bad things. Fruit of the Spirit, we have works of the flesh and works of the Spirit. We have put on this, put off that. You know those lists. They're not the exact same thing, but they're very similar. Why are they there? It's like a checklist. I can see what's actually growing in my life. And other places, Jesus would use a field that was being planted. And he would talk about our enemies, always planting thorns and thistles and tares in that field. But we all plant something ourselves, don't we? What are we planting there? What are we producing with our life? It's a hard question. It's an easy question. It calls for a hard answer. A hard question. If I could take the mask off right now, would I see a sheep or a wolf? Would the shepherd know me because I know him? That's a question only you can answer. But I encourage you to do it while we stand and sing.